At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Like a BB moment, which is like a beautiful black moment. Did we get any of those in this episode?
Black.
We have a chaotic vibe moment of the
chaotic vibe moment. Yeah. And you're watching Black by Reality.
Black by Baddie.
And those who love us.
Hello, you are watching and are listening to the Black by Reality podcast, a podcast for Black by Baddies, those who love us. I am your host, Nicole Weaver, and this is our Love is Blind recap. We're going through episodes 7 and 9, and this is going to be a little different because we're going to have me and Quita talking, and then I'm going to slip in Sabaya. You guys are familiar if you've watched last season.
Happy Hello. To be back.
What yeah. are you thinking about? Ooh. We're in Washington, D.C. this year, except from yeah. what I'm understanding from people who are familiar with the location, we actually have a lot of Virginians.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah. I like that they did DC. DC is a live city. It's got a lot going on. So, you know, it was kind of random, but it was cute, you mm-hmm. know. Isn't it normally Charlotte, or where do they normally go?
They bounced around. So, yes, yeah. we've been in Charlotte, and I think yeah. Charlotte had the worst men so far. So what's happening this season? I think they're topping it, but you can yeah. let me know if that's your yeah. opinion.
I think so, honestly. It's been, I'm excited to get into it because there's so many things.
But hi, Cleta.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello. You know,
we got some juicy eps.
This second drop, they really put all the juice in this drop. But also, I have to say, as someone who's a Love is Blind UK stan for the romance okay. and how wholesome it felt,
yeah.
this second drop of Love is Blind USA, I'm like, oh, why are we like this as a culture? Why are we like this? Why don't we want love shows that are just about love?
Exactly. Like, we can't handle it. We can't handle it. I've seen people online, they were like, I couldn't get into UK. It was just too posh and da-da-da-da. Bring back the ratchet. Well, the ratchet is Tyler has 3 kids and he is lying. Lying. He has done the Libras so dirty during our season. I mean, we already get a bad rep of being the good talkers, the pretty charmers, and this man just loves bringing up kids to this childish woman.
Uh-huh. Yeah, he's really not beating the lying Libra allegations, you know? It's like, why did you bring up kids multiple times, sir?
And my little brother, who is the closest to me, he actually, my nephew was just born today. So shout out to Kali. But that's my Libra brother's son. Keely is great, but they, you know, he's had a lot of growth, you know, mm-hmm. that he's been through a lot of cycles, and they're really good at words. Yeah. Let's just put it like that. Like, you guys, I should say, yeah. are really good at talking. And for those of us that might not be as privileged, it can definitely
be hard to
you.
Argue.
Yeah. But I feel like Ashley, if she had all the information, he wouldn't have been, but he withheld it intentionally because she's very smart. Like, don't get me wrong. Yeah. He
like,
just legit lied.
If Taylor is strategic, he is a master mind. Yeah. Get him on Survivor right now.
Not get him on Survivor. I'm screaming. Yeah, honestly, I could see myself working with Tyler at a Waterwell. He definitely, I mean, if you can lie for this long with a straight face to in multiple settings, like, you definitely could be in a buff.
Mm-hmm. And he was doing the psychopathic thing that Steven was doing of like, let me prep you. Let me prep
yeah.
you. Because
this man will not stop talking about kids.
If you wasn't being forthcoming about fathering not one, not two, but three children.
Yes. What? And it's so nuts. Like, men are so scary. Like, this is going back to the whole conversation, and Quita, you have a job, so you probably don't even know what I'm about to refer to, but the conversation of, like, the man or the bear.
Oh, yeah, I do. I'm familiar with that. Mm-hmm.
Like, a bear will never try to spring three children on you on national television. They'll eat you and then be done with it.
Yeah, a bear would never sit in a pod for 10 days telling you sweet nothings, praying with you, talking about how he wants to make you the mother of his children, and then spring on you. This man loves a prayer.
I am sick of him. This is my thing about, it's so scary. It's so scary when a man learns that something's very important to you, because the way he is holding Ashley's Christianity kind of against her, like, every single moment, it's either I'm bringing up kids or I'm bringing up prayer. Like, he's like, oh, us moving in together, you're so perfect, I just gotta pray. And I'm just like,
why didn't you pray for an honest tongue, sir? Why didn't you pray for that?
Have you prayed for forgiveness for, like, lying through this?
Also, someone who is just a sperm donor doesn't owe potentially $30,000 in back child support. So the math ain't mathing, sir.
If you're not familiar, basically before the twist came out, basically Tyler's, I guess, baby mama's mom is the one who basically was like, look, this man's gonna claim that he was just helping out these lesbians by getting them started with these kids. Nah, he is not a donor. He is showing up on Christmas in matching pajamas. When this man asked about her Christmas traditions and claimed he was alone on Christmas last year and just cooked for himself, and Ashley's like, me too, twins.
It just makes you think, like, what was the next step? You know what I mean? Like, after everything is said and done, once, you know, you guys get married, then what? Like, how do you plan to roll your children out? You know, like, how do you plan to explain
children out?
How does this go? You know what
like
I mean?
Like, campaign. What's the end game?
Right. I mean, he had to have thought about it. I mean, come on. If you don't get this far without having a plan, but it's like, I would just really want to know what the plan was.
But here's my thing about Steven and Tyler. Like, these men who do the worst, I don't think they have a plan. I think they do subconsciously maybe fall on, well, I'm a man. Like, society, how bad could it really get for me? You know? Like, they ain't scared. Women, we're scared of doing anything. We second guess
right.
the outfit. They don't care.
Yeah, I would say, like, you have to have a certain level of ego and confidence mm-hmm. to be on TV. Know that you're lying. Keep mm-hmm. it up and only, like, succumb to your own, like, lies if you are legitimately just beaten or put into a corner. Like, it's again, hard to watch, cringe, like, and I loved them, which was so freaking sad. Like, they just seemed so perfect to me. I was like, okay, they're going to be the couple. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? They're going to be the ones that make it to the end that we're so happy to see.
Maybe another Brett and Tiffany.
Yeah, like something really, like, exclusive and long. It was just giving longevity.
I'm so glad this didn't come out before, because the way you see what happens when you don't have all the information, Ashley's spinning out. We don't get to mm-hmm. see him tell her, and he hardly even told her the facts. She's
still don't know how many. He had to say three. She's like, I don't even know the genders. He says two girls, one boy. We don't even know the names. This man is just so stoic, this whole entire confrontation. And the only time he breaks and starts tearing up is literally when she was like, I don't even know, like, the genders. And I'm like, are you tearing up because you know your kids one day are going to watch this and realize just how little you have said, how far you have gone to deny them? Or is this crying for you? Are you sad for yourself that you put yourself in this position? I don't know.
Yeah, my initial gut was he was crying because he knew the, like, wall was closing in on him. You know, like, he finally tells the truth that he has children, but also he knows that he's still low-key lying because he tells her he's a donor. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, sure, like, you bought yourself potentially through saying I do on the altar, but she's going to eventually find out the truth, you know? Like,
and as much as men love to talk about trapping, like, women have trapped them, we are literally watching an example of a grown man trying to trap a woman. He's trying to get her to be open to seven kids, first of all, because he knows he already got three, trying to give himself wiggle room. She's like, no, two. Then this man's talking about having kids very soon. Even Ashley's like, no, I'm actually trying to wait, slow down on that. And then later on, Ashley's like, oh, we're planning this wedding. This is going to be more so my day, though. Then this man tries to negotiate, and he's like, but I want to name the kids. Men need to realize you are on thin ice. You don't actually – cis men, this is the thing. They have systematically held us down because if nature had it, women are the ones who will select – who gets to have kids in the future? Like, are you actually worthy of this? And I think because men know how much power they do and don't have, we'll talk about Ramses and what agency he wants to give up in this birth control situation. But we're seeing this man literally try to trap this fine, gorgeous, smart, career talented woman. First of all, this was like a hard three episodes to watch because there's so much pressure on whether mostly fathers are giving their blessing. And part of me is like, most of them have basically no choice. They're giving it away. So this all feels very performative patriarchy to me. But there was one time where I finally felt like a father was fathering, because the way Ashley's dad said, this is my only daughter, don't play. I was like, oh, Tyler, you might actually have a real problem on your hands. I don't know.
Right. Her daddy don't look like he play. That man came in an all-black suit.
Yep.
But the fact that he just, like, completely omitted that. And yeah, like you're saying, like, planting these small seeds to try to get her to be subconsciously open, to just be honest.
Just be honest. And guess who else does this? Steven. Steven was breadcrumbing our girl to try and get her comfy with a lot of things.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Steven, Mr. I'm 3/5 black.
I don't know. Like, I kind of from the beginning have felt that she was just kind of like hard to deal with for him personally. Mm-hmm. Like, I just feel like he knew that he had his work cut out for him. And as the little kind of like tit for tat things start to grow, it's like he is put in a position where he's constantly disappointing her, when I just feel like that's like kind of him. You know what I'm saying? Like, the things that are disappointed, like even when she's looking at him, she looks at him kind of like she's disgusted a lot.
He's
like
a disgusting person. Kind of,
yeah, just like frowned up a lot, you know, even before. So I was just like, no, I don't feel like she's feeling it. And I feel like no matter how she tries to hide it, like the kisses and all that, it's cringe. All of it. Mm-hmm. It's been cringe since literally day one for me, honestly. Their relationship, honestly, I wasn't surprised.
She apparently, when he was in the other room, this is how she explained it from, like, the Vile Files, mm-hmm. is that Steven was doing something in the other room. They were actually going to hang out with the other couples from their mm-hmm. cast. Mm-hmm. For some Halloween thing. These two are so getting married. And yeah. I am talking about Garrett and Taylor.
And Taylor.
I have a picture here of them comforting Monica. But apparently they were like telling the other couples, come over, we're doing Halloween decoration stuff. They're like mom and dad of this group. They're so getting married. And then she looks, because she's like, you know, maybe Garrett or Taylor texted about us meeting up. She sees this text, and then she sees also a woman chat right below Garrett's, and then she's like, what is this? And she claims,
Lord of mercy,
she doesn't remember what she saw, but knew it was disgusting. It's like, you remember, yeah. but you're not trying to get your name in headlines with whatever yeah. he was, and that was yeah. smart.
Yeah, she was trying to protect her image at that point. And honestly, when your trust is like betrayed and everything, it's already on national TV. The last thing you need is whatever is breaking your heart currently, in quotes, like you're saying on like a page six somewhere.
And his lie. So, because at first when she's like, were you even at a sleep test? And I was like, mm-hmm. why is she questioning that? Like, I don't know. And then he was like, I was drunk. Drunk texting, a sleep drunk test,
mm-hmm. and apparently it was true. She was like, I actually saw evidence that he was at that. I also noticed his eye was dilated. I was like, what is going on with you? Because you look a mess. It's just one eye that's like, bling! And she's cussing him out and being like, Venmo me. That one eye's like, oh my god,
like, what is happening here, and why are you drunk texting at the sleep test? Like, I'm just so confused by all of this.
I'm so confused too. And she was like, he was like, you won't even believe me. And she's like, tell me something, give me at least the chance to shut you down.
And then he tells her the most ridiculous story, and it's like, you're right, I'm not gonna believe that.
Like, so in the end, and like, by the way, this man not only couldn't bother to give her flowers until production makes a flower date to get him off the hook, which he did not need. He also lost his job, and Monica was paying for everything. As he, like, you can't even say, oh, Monica, she was so money hungry. She's talking about YSL bags and not liking Kate Spade, da da da. She was like, I'll be your sugar mama happily for this man. And then he goes around texting someone else on her. No.
Run me that Venmo.
Me and Quita were already joking about this man wanting to be topped. He wants to be topped so bad. he is begging for her. And she's like, yeah. slow down. I'm literally the straightest woman in the world.
Yeah.
Like, you are talking about not even wanting to get married to me, but you want to talk about all of these things that you're into.
Yeah.
And you're confused?
About where to begin. because, of course, like, your sexual desires is definitely something that you should discuss before marriage. Mm-hmm. Because, as we both know, sexuality can be fluid for some people and very linear for others. So... Mm-hmm. Not necessarily, you know, too, like, thrown off about him trying to make sure that they're getting to the point, because you only have, like, what, like, 2 weeks or something like that, you know, before you're walking down the aisle. But, oh, my God. Geez.
Everything came back to the bedroom for him, which is so terrible. I feel so bad for Monica, because you shouldn't be feeling so sexualized by this man. He doesn't care about anything else. So, yeah.
First of all, super sloppy on Steven's part. It's like, if you're over here doing the crime, like, why is your phone casually sitting somewhere? It's just
he
awful.
Doesn't care.
Yeah, and then, like, at least, like, to preserve whatever, you know what I mean? Even if it's just for TV for you, like, come on, dude. Secondly, her having like the intuition to even like look, you know, like the gut's gonna go every time. Like women, like regardless if she was disingenuous about maybe like looking at the phone because of the people or whatever, if she just felt like she just needs to look, sometimes that happens. And I'm glad that she went with it so that she could, you know, see what she needed to see, because ultimately she doesn't need to be with this man.
Absolutely not.
Yeah,
this
that's
is
so,
awful.
It's so sad seeing her cry like that. Ugh.
It's so awful. Steven, okay, I feel like Steven knew, because back in the pods when he said he cheated last time, he was like, I was chatting with this woman with intention. I knew I was going to get caught. And it's like, he makes it seem as, then as like, oh, I'm just such an honest person. I knew. I think he knew here too, and he's such a coward of like, I don't want this to happen, but I don't want to be the bad guy to end it.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be...
I'm just going to let her find out, which is... like, this, the boy math is crazy right now. Like,
real quick, Playboy.
Exactly.
You know? Like, no.
It was probably still not enough. Still not enough.
Yeah, and it's just like, why were you, I really appreciate her being like, why were you here? Like, why did you even come here?
Because of the little anecdote he told Taylor. He's thinking about all those girls who may or may not hit him up after this. It's advertisement at this point.
But it's like, it's not even, like, I'm like, I don't, I guess for me, I'm like, sure, go on Love is Blind to get famous, but there are so many, it's like, such a high risk that you will be on this show and portrayed in a way that does not make you likable, especially if you do have intentions like, you know, I'm like.
It's high risk more for a woman, though, than a man. Truly, what's the consequences for him in our society?
I mean, I do feel like people, I'm like, that's true. I mean, I guess it is higher risk for women. I mean, he will still eventually get women who sleep with him, I guess, because he was on Love is Blind. But I'm just like, I don't know. I think you, like, literally talking on camera about how women will be coming out of the woodworks is so.
There's going to be somebody. That's the sad part.
That's
There's
true.
Always going to
be somebody.
Hey, somebody. Don't
do it.
I know even the femdoms out there, but look at how he handled that flower conversation. He's not that tight.
He's
so
not.
Don't even try to go for it. Don't even do it, girl. Don't do it, girl. Okay, let's go to Alexandra and Tim, because I did not get to talk that much about them with Sabaya, Tim the Virgo, and oh my God, the Virgo was Virgoing in that apartment in these episodes. And Alexandra, the Leo, girl.
Alex, you knew the cameras were coming.
We do not get that much insight into Alexandra as we do Tim, because he was chatting. But the one thing that was very clear when we meet her family in these episodes, and she did mention not one, but both of her parents have had MS. Alexandra's dealing with a lot. And as a girly myself that has PTSD and, like, it's just always been naturally a little bit more messy, I'm not, like, a hoarder or anything. But when I saw that, I was like, I can't judge her. I can't be, like, one of the many people, because I'm thinking of, she has two parents with MS. Like, how much time does she really get to spend in that apartment or take care of herself?
Yeah, and she does say when she's at the apartment, she's like, but I feel very at ease.
At home.
Yeah, and, like, I can just, like, lay down and take a nap, you know, so I
know that's scary for him, but also that could be depression. Like, I don't know, I'm not supposed to cycle out, but it's just, like, you gotta read people for where they're at and not punch on them as they're down is how I feel.
Yeah, for me, I'm just like, but again, sometimes I just be like, well, should you be on Love is Blind? Like, not to say you shouldn't find love, but I'm like, I think you need a lot more care than this goofball can offer you. Like, he couldn't even learn enough about you, you know, or like, you know, I'm just like, is this man really going to show up for you in the ways that you're needing and wanting? Like, how has he shown you through the pods, you know, like,
I haven't seen him not show up for her, though. I mean, after they so in Cabo, she was like, I don't know what's going to happen. He walked out. He didn't spend the night. They had an ATV date. They were both figuring it out. And at the end, she looks like, I like that she gets giggly. And like, at the end of this, they're kind of smooth sailing. Like, I don't know. Do you still feel like there's a bad vibe?
I'm not a fan of it. Okay. Because I don't think that they, after, to me, in Mexico, it felt like, yeah, they, I mean, you have to make an agreement to just move on after conflict, right? I do understand that. But I think a part of me felt like they actually didn't resolve anything about that. And to me, it just makes me concerned. I'm like, I don't know, the depth, the actual depth around their stuff with each other.
I think, unfortunately, Alexandra gets lost in the mix. There's so many couples this season. If we had fewer, we probably would get more into if there was conflict resolution. Feel you. I want to assume the best, mostly because we lost Ashley and Tyler completely. And the parents seem to be good and open to Tim. His place looked good. She can't complain about that. And I think, honestly, after seeing Alexandra's place, I'm like, girly probably does need some help. I think she needs, there's a lot of cries for help, even with like what we heard about their confrontation. I'm just like, maybe she needs a soft man to land on, and that's Tim. I don't know.
I'm like, what has shown us that? When she was upset, he was not a soft place to land. From what we've heard, they have both confirmed that he got very upset and was like vocalizing in a way that felt like yelling, right? So for me, I don't trust that he's a soft place to land, but that might be my own thing with my misandrous tendencies and anti-Virgo tendencies.
Yeah. I'm still reading it as he really wanted Alexandra to open up and she couldn't, because I don't know if Alexandra has just in general that soft place to land. Like, I don't know if she's used to that. So I want to give the benefit of the doubt, but we'll see. Is there anything else we want to say about these two?
No. I really hope this next drop shows us more of them working well.
Yeah. I mean, Tim also has so many homages to Winston Churchill in his freaking apartment because he was born in England. I just also wrote down in my notes, you should talk to Ramses. So let's go over to Ramses and Marissa.
Maybe not, though, but yeah.
I like to see it. I like to see it. Give Marissa a break, you know? I think he has it in him to have a few more big discussions. Oh, Sabaya, how is it that every time you get on this podcast, we got some kind of a ratio that somehow the military becomes part of the story? I kissed a girl, and I was like, and then when these two chaos people were sitting down, I was like, oh, I got the guest for this.
It's a really big thing. Like, I'm a Marine, so I was active duty from 2017 until 2021. Got out, did some truck driving. That's where Survivor discovered me, and now I'm actually back, active reserve, and I've been in since last July. So I see a lot of stereotypes, as well as the people that are the reason the stereotypes exist in the first place. It really just boils down to a lot of people joining right out of high school, you know, 17, 18 years old, and then being put into this bubble of society that doesn't really teach you much. If you don't seek out a mentor, you're literally just like probably in the best financial situation you've ever been, probably have the most security just in general as far as benefits and everything like that have you ever been. And you're traveling the world at a young age. You know, you have leadership abilities at a young age. So the egos are crazy, you know, and there's not a lot of growth. And there's not a lot of therapy. So unless the military member has gone through, you know, a couple of relationships, they're not ready. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, straight up.
Do you think
up.
Marissa is or isn't ready? Yeah.
I like Marissa. I feel like she is, but I also feel like Ramses just might be maybe a little bit better emotional communicator than her at some times. Mm-hmm. I feel like he doesn't really give her enough, like, slack, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, he kind of comes at her heavy, and she's so, like, bubbly and positive, you know what I'm saying, that it kind of just brings her down a little bit. Like, okay, like, I didn't do anything to you. It's for you to have all of these, you know, stigmas and things like that, you know?
All of a sudden, they start talking about Marissa's military past. Ramses is not messing with it. He is from Venezuela, so he comes with that context, also just in general his politics. And it's so interesting, this whole scene, because Marissa is like, you can tell she's still debating something. She's internally conflicted about some things. Of on one level she believes, but in praxis this has been her life, and therefore this is the path she went down.
This conversation and then the following conversation to me highlighted that it seems like she was attracted to Ramses for his politics, because I think aspirationally that is maybe where she wants to potentially move towards, but it isn't actually fully what she believes, or like, what she fully believes at this moment. So I think she had dated someone who was a Trump supporter in the past. She's dated a lot of military men, and Ramses isn't that at all. Mm-hmm. But it's like, girl, what are the actual implications for your relationship for dating someone whose politic is a bit more radical or to the left than your own, right? So yeah. it felt like she has believed a certain narrative for so long around like supporting the military, supporting the troops, and she's gotten to a place where she can critique the institution, but she's holding on to supporting the people. Mm-hmm. And Ramses is like reflecting back to her that, like, by supporting the people, you are essentially supporting the institution, because who makes up the institution if not the people who are a part of it, you know? And she's not there yet.
I think Marissa is just on a path of growth. She comes from, we learn, the Mormon church, which is a very white institution. She already had to leave, question that. She grew up really poor, and we know in this country that one sure way that you actually get some socialism, because that's the thing that we need to talk about, is the reason why a lot of these people go into the military is to get out of poverty. And like, because America is so capitalist that you need to pay for every single thing, insurance, all of that, all of a sudden, if you put your life on the line for this country, all of a sudden you can get healthcare, babes. You can get a house. You can travel the world. Never mind why you would be traveling the world. Do you have any business traveling the world? Never mind that. So then you're grateful. You're grateful for a lot of these things that absolutely changed your life. And it does feel hypocritical to then criticize that. But then it's like, here's the other side. And I think, yeah, I told this to Sabaya. Sabaya is actually a Marine and is currently in the reserves now. And I was just like, yeah, I wish these two talked more about also their social class, because, like, I feel like they have to have some common ground there. Like, that has to be a main, like, one of the reasons why they see each other.
Like, maybe just deal with me instead of dealing with the entire stigma of military members, and we can go from there, you know? So that's trying to combat somebody's overall ideal about a specific type of people is not fun. Honestly, watching them is a little triggering for me. but it's like, I get it. I get it from both sides, because I've heard both arguments in the past.
Hope most people understand both sides. Like, Ramses. He comes from Venezuela, has a very different first time experience probably with the military, where Marissa, she has obviously, first of all, grown up in Mormonism. That's a white institution. Then,
yeah.
Then apparently she later said her mom was like, you got to go in the military. I've have family members where they're also, they might not be like Hannah's family of where we're going to cut you off at 18, but they might have a military background themselves and was like, well, I can figure it out. So why don't you? So what's the subconscious? What's the subcontext of that? You're going into the military because I'm not paying for your college.
No, 100%. And that was the situation for me and my family. Like, I have four brothers. I don't have any sisters, but there's a lot of us. There's five of us. And my parents were both teachers. Mm-hmm. So there wasn't a lot of college fund money. You catch my drift? You know what I mean? Like, we're like, I'm a second generation immigrant, you know, from my dad. So it's... The military is the one of the surefire ways, you know, if you're young, if you're in shape, if you got a little bit of leadership capability, even if you don't, like, it's a clean slate. It doesn't matter, you know, all the background, doesn't matter if you're not a trust fund kid. You can go there and you can have trust fund kids of your own. You know what I'm saying? So me and my family, we are all service members, literally every single one of us. And it's not necessarily like we're just the most tried and true red, white, and blue people. It's just, we're, you know, black and in America, we're poor, you know, so it's like, how do we change the dynamic of our generation? And we allowed ourselves to make the sacrifice. So that way, when I have my kids and my kids have kids, I'm going to be the great, great granny that made the difference in the bloodline, you know, and so will all my brothers. And so we take that serious, but that's pretty much the only aspect we take serious about it is the change of generational wealth. So yeah, like it is kind of hard to watch people that have that type of experience get kind of shitted on, you know, because it's just like, you know.
But this conversation was so interesting because I think it also shed light of like, oh my God, it's truly the system. We have a culture of we're supposed to say like support the troops and everything like that. And if somehow you have a problem with the military, it doesn't, it's almost like then it's like, then you don't support the troops. Like I realized and I knew this, but in this conversation, it was so evident to me that the so-called troops or what we think of as like the 18-year-olds who go in not really knowing what they're doing, they're the ones who are the shield and also like the sacrifice in this whole thing, because
1000%
because it is the empire. Like I think everyone can agree the empire is doing its thing, and therefore we need to be have our stations everywhere. Why? Because we were Ori bullying everyone. So it's like, but then it's like, but you can't criticize without first then saying the troops. You can see that internal struggle all over Marissa. She is constantly learning stuff. And I have so much more compassion learning more about her. I wish we heard about the Mormonism and everything. Because, he's Venezuelan, but like the politics is and the situations they come from, I don't know if they would be that dissimilar of just what their families were going against society wise.
I felt like they should have talked about this more in the pods.
Because
I'm like, I think fundamentally they aren't a good match. Like, you know, like, and I think maybe it's something where in the past, maybe she feels like she's dated men who didn't share her values in a different way. And I feel like maybe she thinks she can make this work, but I'm like, no, it won't work because he seems to be very like principled or, you know, about his beliefs in a way where he's like, no, if you were to go into the reserves, baby, we wouldn't be in this juke joint together.
Exactly.
You know, and I'm like, hear him.
It's so interesting because you can tell that the like military programming is so strong because she's critical. She says like, and even Tim, Because let's not forget, Timothy's also in it. Like, these different people in this cast, multiple, have passed in the military, which will make the reunion so interesting when they talk about this. Like,
yeah.
Actually, my heart goes out to Ramsey's a little bit, because he's going to be one against Ooh. Maybe a lot. Oh, but yeah. my thing here is that it's the programming of, like, she knows she didn't have a good time. She knows she wasn't surrounded by all of the people that she would have wanted to, but then they had a common enemy, which binds people. They all, like, it's a very specific environment, which binds people. And there's just certain, even in our American culture, woo, when the friends came through, they were shook. Brenda, I think Brenda's the one in that yellow sweater back there.
Mm-hmm.
She looked like she was about to cry.
Her eyes were so big.
We don't get to criticize the big bad. They get to, in the dark shadows, the ones who literally profit off of war and make the decisions that we go to war or not. The troops, though, get to be the visual, and you must support them. They sacrificed mm-hmm. everything. And Ramses was being very, very honest, and I've had that thought of, like, they sign up for this. They, it feels like something that's lobbied against when we're trying to have a nuanced discussion of what's going on. And that's what's told. You have to be grateful mm-hmm. to the troops. Troops are patriotic. What does mm-hmm. patriotism mean? He said, where do you are with that? She was like, I used to be very patriotic.
Mm-hmm. I'm just, yeah, and I think, I'm like, why are y'all having this conversation
yes.
now? You know, like, this is a big thing.
But I think it's him, literally, if you're not in the military or aren't familiar, you don't know how deep that runs. Like, her, all these friends right here, all these, I think most of them are actually women of color as well, which makes yeah. it even much more nuanced.
Right.
They're all military. So it's yeah. like, even if she's not in the military, she's in the military. Because she's mm-hmm. hanging out with these former military who are talking right. about this all of the time,
yeah.
all coming with the same things. And now it feels like he's the outsider that's coming in.
Right.
And trying to shake stuff up. And they're like, this is literally our worldview.
Right.
And it comes back to, they get these kids at 18, 19.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And they get to do that brainwashing, and it's very exactly. scary when confronted by yeah. a different opinion.
Yeah, I was telling a friend that in that this moment where Ramses is, like, talking about his opinion, I was like, friend, I honestly felt like they were about to be like, USA, yeah. USA, like, yeah. shut up, like, support the troops, like, start chanting that, you know, because, mm-hmm. like, literally, you could feel, especially the friend in the middle.
She was frightened. She had huge eyes already. She was just like, she was like, I'm from the military. And he's like, and I will continue to say this to your face. Which is not usually the thing, because the whole thing is, thank you for your service. Marissa said, I can't handle if you are ashamed of my service. And that's the hard thing, because I think something that I think also we don't talk about a lot is just when we love a romantic partner, because I don't believe in unconditional love between right. romantic partners. That's a parent-child dynamic. But in romantic love, we're like, yeah, is love blind? Do you ignore the things you would usually be annoyed at, but you love this person and can overlook? I think these two people, I think Ramses specifically, because I can only imagine this was his thinking. He's like, I can tolerate. I think I can accept that it's her past. But mm-hmm. because he's never been close to the military in that side of things, he can't imagine how still deeply ingrained that means. And for her, she said, well, I'm out and I want to be out. I am starting to question these things and everything like that. But even she can't. I think even she is still struggling with how much it's still there and how much of that still means a lot to her. It's a big part of her life. She's proud. Right. I think that's a big thing, too, is that because the socialism that is in the military, you get to care for each other. They don't give that to us. They literally withhold it for us for a win. I'm pissed. But like, yeah, you would have undying loyalty to something too if it saved your life, which for a lot of mm-hmm. these people, it does mm-hmm. for themselves. I think for some people, they then are like, yeah, did you sign up as a sacrifice for all of us or for yourself?
Right.
That's like another honest question we don't have in this community.
Exactly. Yes. Also, when you serve in the military, what are you actually doing? Right. And she tells a story
that
about how
button.
She.
No, thank you.
Yeah. You know, and he's like,
you could have
signed up.
You could have kept
that.
But that's
you know,
I can't be mad at Marissa because she's so honest. With the men and the snakes in this season, at least Marissa is brave enough to have these conversations. Like, brave enough to have these conversations, be in this relationship with this man that challenges everything. I think she's kind of used to being with men who challenge her in one way or another, honestly. But what did you think of her mama?
Woo! It was just like, ma'am, do you like your daughter? Because, like, why are you talking like this? Like, what is happening? You know? Mm-hmm. I didn't like her energy, you know? I'm like, I don't know this lady's story. Marissa done already said she needs therapy. I'm like, clearly, because she's coming in hot. You know? I don't know. Mm-hmm. It was a bit much for me.
Yeah. I think that Marissa's mom, I mean, I give her some credit for sure, because there are some things we know about her, right? I believe she might have been military as well. Or I think Marissa definitely said, my mom was like, so if you're going to make something of yourself, you should go into the military, because mm-hmm. they were just so poor. Like, mm-hmm. yeah, I don't know if she was also in the military, but that's like a big reason why Marissa was. And then obviously her mom is a strong woman, but obviously her mom might have been tied to the Mormon church at some point mm-hmm. and then had to get out of that. Going from the Mormon church, that's like your only way in to heaven is to get married and pop out a bunch of babies, to I don't think marriage is forever, so let's forget mm-hmm. all that. I'm like, this woman has been on a journey, and I'm here for it. I'm here for that. She is absolutely jaded and traumatized from poverty. All the siblings talking about their past is like, yeah, this is giving all context. And then we get back to Ramses and his politics and stuff. And Marissa says, I want to be a billionaire. He's like, billionaires are unethical. Millionaire. This is all like a trauma response. And like, it still doesn't, it's not an excuse, but also like, Ramses, you're still literally surrounded by all these beautiful Black people, Black women mostly were talking in this conversation and what they had to deal with. It's like, we need nuance, and especially you, sir, who all of a sudden you're so liberal until it comes to the condom conversation. How that work? You care, you think that we need to be bullying's not okay. Everyone needs to pull their fair share, right? Like, but how are you then, as this, I would assume, sex positive man, being like, but I don't feel good. Can you go on birth control? Ew, are you Johnny?
Truly, are you?
Grow up. These men have gone too long with this expectations, because they are so quick to throw out birth control. Guess what? Mm-hmm. Condoms are birth control.
They are. They're one of many forms of birth control. So
imagine. It has to feel good. If you were as good and hot as putting it down as you two were making it seem, a condom ain't gonna stop no show. Yeah. I'm sorry.
And there's not one universal type of condom. We are in a time of the 2020s where there are so many different types of condoms, ribs, like warming, like all the things.
But that's the thing. It's so obviously not about the condom. These men are so entitled to having it their way. Mm-hmm. And they mostly have been able to get it their way. So why do they expect any different? I hope we all come to a strike against these men. Straight women, I know it's hard because you only got that option, but at the Black Bi Reality podcast, let me tell you something about bisexuality. We ain't giving these men no more babies. And they can't handle a condom.
Right.
You said free Palestine, sir. You goofy self. You said free Palestine and the next breath, I can't wear a condom. Grow up.
And you just see, but Ren is like very flower child, very like, I'm not going to say, I don't feel like he lives in complete fantasy, you know, but I do feel like his ideals are skewed to one side of the spectrum sometimes, you know, just like, very hyper awareness, hyper flower child, hyper health, hyper this, you know, and that's great. You know, people aspire to be that way, but also everybody won't think and act and feel like you when it comes to certain issues, you know?
Well, first of all, he's not flower child about health because he can't. He can't be asked to use a condom.
Yeah, the condom situation was it was definitely a smoking gun as far as like his. That's okay. This
you
is like.
You cannot down this woman.
Yeah. Like, it's double standard. Like he's going back and forth.
He tried to like make her feel like a hypocrite, which honestly, all of us as humans are.
Mm-hmm.
Once you get comfortable with the fact that you are a hypocrite in
some
way.
It's possible, and sometimes you can't, sometimes you're not even aware of it. You know,
and
like
Marissa is trying, she's learning. This man, though, I feel like he knows better. At least if you're going to talk about all of this.
The awareness stuff and blah, blah, blah.
You
yeah.
can't bring up someone's health and be like, but you should be on birth control. I won't. And this needs to feel good for me. It actually doesn't need to do anything. You are not owed. You're not owed that.
Every time I like think I like a man on Love is Blind, it's like literally the next thing is like, no, you don't.
No, you don't. Like,
no, you don't. Actually.
No, you don't.
Not to say that humans have to be perfect, but y'all be getting on my damn nerves. Because what are we doing here?
Let's go over to Hannah and Nick. Because I have some different takes this week.
Yeah, like, even with them, like, it just seemed like Nick would have, like, self-sabotage moments, too.
Yeah.
Where it was
yes.
just, like, out of nowhere, now he's riding the duck with some random girl in Mexico. It's like, you don't get your behind off that duck and go, like, what is this?
I was team him riding the duck. It's a honeymoon. It's a honeymoon.
Oh, God.
But let's move on from that. Because these two in Cabo, right? They had that big fight. You know, Hannah supposedly wrote these bullet points. She called Nick delusional, da-da-da. So they both have their homework.
I love Hannah, by the way. She's so funny.
She's hilarious. So they had their notes. That's what they're talking about. And Nick says he needs to work on thinking about things before he says them.
Yes.
I'm not really sure that's his issue, but it is a task. It's something to always keep in mind. Hannah says that she needs to work on being less bitchy and be more patient with Nick.
Okay.
I do think you need patience if you're going to be with this man who still lives at home, doesn't know how to boil water,
and that's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like her need to have patience really is because he is so immature.
Yes.
It's not because she lacks patience. I think that she is a very patient person. I mean, she's put up with a lot with this guy so far, I'm not going to lie. Mm-hmm. But because she is so, like she was saying, I'm overly independent. It's my way, the highway usually. I feel like he is so, I don't know, he just comes across as like your kid brother, you know, mm-hmm. that you just want to like beat up on and like be fun with, but you would never date. And so I don't know, like it's unfortunate, you know, that Hannah ended up in that situation. Definitely glad that she's not with Leo, because that would have been,
look,
you know.
Then we have this. They have their apartment, and, you know, Hannah's trying to talk about splitting chores. This man still lives at home. So mm-hmm. I think she's being a little bit realistic about where this man actually is at.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. trying to tell him, look, I have expectations.
Uh-huh.
Can Nick rise to the occasion of walking the dog, maybe in the morning, and taking out the trash? He said he cooked. He said he had a pool table. And the pool table's in storage.
In his parents' basement.
Yes. Now, these episode drops, she did get confronted about her lying on that man's height. Because he's like, I'm right here. I'm right here. And then she had to try to go, but the wingspan. And it's like, you are such an older sister to a brother. Because she was about chest to chest with this dude.
And that's the thing, is she don't take him serious. No. You know, I'm like, you do not take this man serious at all. So why are you playing games acting like you're about to marry? He's not. But that's why I think he ain't serious. You shouldn't take him serious, but I'm like, girl, you know you don't want to marry this man. Like, be so for real right now. Not you
really
standing your man right now in front of your brother. What are we doing?
Actually, that might be my chaotic bisexual moment. Because I feel like, I don't know. I feel like the playful competition is giving, like, tomboy vibes. It is friend zone. It is friend zone vibes, but it's giving a little queer in that, in a way. But so they're talking about splitting the responsibilities.
Kudos to Hannah and Monica for being emotionally mature enough to not let it go and revisit it, like the flowers situation.
I said that Hannah actually looks happy talking to Nick about this apartment in the very beginning. So I'm like mm-hmm. trying to track her happiness. And then later they are looking at each other's places, and she is making dinner for her brother and Nick. Nick offers to help. She says, can you boil water? And the drama that ensued after that. Nick, are you for real?
Now he looked in the fridge for the pasta. I was like, does his parents buy, like, fresh pasta or something? Like,
that's what Sabai was wondering. Sabai was like, okay, maybe it's, like, the pre-made that he's looking for. Right. I was like, but then the man was like, but how, up to where should I boil the water? She was just like, let me do it. And I was like, this is how, Hannah's are not born. They are created. And they are created by dumb people around them. This Aquarian is like, are you for real mm-hmm. right now?
Mm-hmm.
I am the water bearer. Give me, I have the knowledge. Let me just do it. Sit on down somewhere. What are you doing?
Uh-huh.
I'm like, I can't even be mad. I can't even be mad at this point.
I'm just like, you don't like him, and that's fine. Because it's just like, he gets on your nerves, mm-hmm. and that's okay, right? But I'm like, if you are seriously trying to act like you're going to marry this man, you're not. You do not take him serious.
I don't think she is. I don't think she's brought up marriage as much as like, hey, this is how you live as an adult. I think Hannah's turning into a Marshall. This is her project now, mm-hmm. and the project is still playing games, because he came in a suit. I think she's calling out that he's acting for the cameras, too. She will not let him breathe on that, because he comes out in a suit and stuff. He's like, oh, I got to change. She's cleaning and everything. He comes back in another button-up pants. She was like, so you changed into more professional clothes? He's like, yeah, I got work. And she's like, on Zoom. I was like, she was like, don't play. Don't play for the cameras right now. Like, you have somewhere to be, Mr. Realtor.
Maybe he did.
I don't think he did. And I think Hannah was like, So let's talk about some real financial stuff. Do you know what a stock is? He almost cried by the end of that conversation because she was like, you are playing some stupid games, not taking out the trash, even though you claim you are. You don't know what a stock is. Like, get your act together.
She knew he was on some BS, but she was in the pods. I mean, Leo wasn't a better choice, but I'm like, it's also
okay. She should have just taken her stuff and go home, but she's also young.
That's my thing. Is that, like, she is so young. Like, it gets on my nerves. Because I'm like, girl, you knew from jump this man was not for real. You knew that. And, like, you are trying to convince yourself of the other girls. And it's like, no, you clocked it first.
You actually have great instincts, Hannah. You are very smart. But I think at the end, she was like, I want to be on this show. So I'm going to be on this show. And how dare Hannah's brother, this evil gay, how dare you betray your sister for this man you just met? Have a back. Stand up, little brother. Hannah is mean for a reason. She's still trying to get you to stand up. Because why did you sell her out the minute she walked out? It was just like, yeah, she can't dish what she can't take. No, she can't. But also, she knows.
Exactly. I'm like, he ain't lying.
But, like, these men are so good at lying. This season.
I know.
And so the one time we get an honest man, it has to be to sell out Hannah to Nick.
It has to be the homosexual being honest about the truth.
Nah. I mean, you better lie on me. If I had a brother going on there, you better lie and say, she's the nice, sweetest thing, isn't she? You've been taking care of her? Like, why is no one protecting Hannah?
I mean, partly probably because the way she's been treating homeboy is how she's literally treated probably her little brother, you know? So he's
but
like,
the parents can't step in.
Yeah, that was a bad
they threw her to the wolves.
But this goes back to Hannah not necessarily feeling like she can rely on her family. Maybe the jealousy thing, like how we were talking about, how Nick's family is one way and hers is another way. Her not having, I mean, him not having her back, you know, in that situation kind of is a testament to her feeling like she's always having to get it out of the mud, having to do it on her own. She can't lean, you know, to the people that she feels like she can. Mm-hmm. And that was, again, cringe, you know, so she has to be able to meet him where he's at and not hold it against him. But he has to grow up.
And this is my thing that I still think is an undercurrent of Hannah and Nick's dynamic, is that I still think she's jealous of him. And one of the jealous things is that he has a support system, because Hannah was cut off financially at 18, had to figure it out. So that's why she's hyper independent, hyper, I think, anxious and aware. I say this as someone who is all of these things. And she's just, it blows her mind that Nick doesn't know how to boil some water. She's like, one thing I know is I'm smarter than you. I might sound like a jerk saying that, but one thing about me, I know I'm smarter than you. And you better not talk back, because I know I'm smarter than you.
She is. Nobody questioned that. But I'm like, ain't nobody questioning that. It's like, no one thinks he's like a fucking, like, MacArthur scholar. Like, no one, you know, no one believes that. I see her. Like, I've
seen her. Air signs. It's like when you see someone who's just dumb and naive, it's like, you don't have no thoughts. Well, I have all the thoughts. I'm stressing over here, full of thoughts, and you are just living your life. And you hate to be that hater, but Hannah, she that number one hater. Don't
she
forget,
is.
Kendrick's a Gemini. He said, I hate the way that you walk the way.
Like, sir, what? Yeah, it is giving that energy for sure. But yeah, Emmy also, she also shared with us the way her mom would like literally hide food from her as a child, that's right? So like, you know,
these people did not support her.
Right. She didn't receive all this like endless care and support that this man who is older than her continues to receive, right? His parents are paying his phone bill, all of his bills, it sounds like, except for maybe car insurance.
Are you going to start paying that? He said, why would I?
He ain't wrong though. Like, I hear her. She's like, because you need to be responsible for yourself. And I'm like, Hannah, also hear him. And like, that's one less bill y'all have to pay. Like, we could think of this one or two ways. You know, it's like,
she's not used to it. If you don't have parents who support you financially,
right?
Her takeaway is, I mean, we hardly ever turn on our parents and think that they did the wrong thing, right? So in Hannah's place, it's easier to believe her parents did the right loving thing for her by cutting her off and having her figure out all these things. And maybe she thinks it's the loving thing then to give Nick the tough love he's never had and to tell him to go on his own. That's... As much as these people want to be on TV and say, oh my God, you need to like relax. It's all you. It's like, you guys mean to not be relaxed. How about that? How about Hannah stressed out because this is all on her shoulders?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It is. Yeah.
The whole Nick producers are also messy because they had him stand outside his parents' house like it was an episode of Cribs or something. He's like, this is my home. I love my parents. Been here for 2 years. And Hannah, I guess, knew that. But then she was like, I guess her big thing has been how much do you actually do for yourself because you live at home. Turns out, also, Nick is Hispanic. He's Cuban. So his mama really is probably
That's a cultural thing. Like, you don't have to leave until you really have something to go to, or if you marry, you know what I mean? And even then sometimes maybe not. So I don't know, I feel like there might be a little bit of a culture difference that's kind of like affecting them, because I know, like, my dad, he's Jamaican. Like, he often encouraged me and my brothers not to leave the house unless we have, like, I went to college and then I went to the Marine Corps, so that I left. But it's not, like, frowned upon to be, you know, 25, 26, 27 and still be at home, because home is where we're building and the family, we're all pouring back into each other and everything like that. So, yeah, I don't know. I think that it is a little bit of a culture shock, but I do feel like because he is a boy, one, and he has a prominent mom figure in his life, which could be said about some of my brothers, you know, they do get waited on and they do get taken care of. And like, it's a very big, big thing, you know? I empathize with him, but I also know how it could be annoying for a woman that's trying to grow with him. It's like, okay, like, when are you going to be able, if you even can, are you learning from your mom? Are you learning from your dad, or are you taking advantage of your situation, you know? Because it can go both ways.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, there's always a balance, right? Because how Hannah had to grow up, that was not the greatest either. Saying at 18, you're on your own, you need to start covering everything. Like, I think there's still a little bit of jealous there for Hannah to Nick.
Because she had a traumatic situation and she's like the opposite, you know, of everything that he is.
Yeah.
So she's like, hey, man, like, the world is hard. And he's like, what do you mean? My life is great. Like, look at my mom. Look at my house. Look at my people. And she's just like, well, I don't have any of that. And I've been on my own. You know, so how are we going to have a merged household? But I feel like, you know, more communication and just understanding that everybody has different types of problems.
Yeah. Our last couple, I mean, I could have sworn I saw their wedding already in these episodes.
Right. I mean, I've been a fan of Taylor and Gary, even though I felt weird about that moment around the race thing. But they've seemed very strong throughout this. Mm-hmm. They have a lot of commonalities, but big differences too. Mm-hmm. But it seems like there's both a shared commitment of like, no, I really like this person. I want to make it work. And I'm also being honest about who I am.
For sure.
Because I love them. They're the only ones keeping it together. They're the only ones. Garrett and Taylor are so adorable. I love all of their conversations are just based on like just very high level communication, mm-hmm. very accepting. It seems like they kind of already both had their own lives that they're happy with independently. Mm-hmm. And so finding each other, it's just been kind of like the icing on the cake. So I'm happy for them, but mm-hmm. I don't know.
Let's take it back to Cabo, though, because this was wild. So this couple's doing just fine, but they're around mm-hmm. messy couples, because I have to note that freaking Steven uses Garrett as a scapegoat.
Yeah.
Lies on him. Because at first I was like, oh my God, maybe Garrett's having cold feet. Like, I don't know why I believe Steven.
You're talking about the fireworks situation?
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, I was wondering what was going on. I'm like, did I miss something? Did they cut something out? You know what I'm saying?
What I like about this is that, you know, he's willing to move. Mm-hmm. So I love that for Taylor. She is getting what she wants out of this. And then they look at their social media profile. This is the same thing that happened with Jasmine and Bobby on Love is Blind UK. So it's mm-hmm. like, this is now becoming a trope. It's a telltale sign. If the engaged couple are like, oh, let's look at our social media, they have nothing. They're done. They're going down the aisle.
Got it. That
and he's like sense. Fish. The fish boys won. The white fish boys won. Look at him with his black tee and gold chain. She already got him started. Changing that. Switching that up. Crazy words.
Oh my God. Yeah. I mean, my thing is I want to see him straight up tell his family that, though. Because he was saying all that, like, I'm going to move for her to her and her friends. Mm-hmm. So I would love for him to be just as direct. But he's clearly having these conversations. I just want to see it.
He's having some frank conversations away from the cameras, which is really honestly where he should be having them. Because he knows he's marrying this woman. He ain't trying to start this off on any bad foot. I appreciated the conversation that they have later. But for here, also another telltale sign for Love is Blind. If they meet all the family, they're getting married. And look at this. Everyone's here. Everyone. She just surrounded. Damn.
She really is. It's kind of like.
And the mom is on verge of tears. The whole entire time, and this was wild. I mean, was it as bad as you thought it was going to be?
I don't know what I was expecting. It was a little terrifying. I'm like, why are they all surrounding her like this? I'm like, aren't they kind of off in the way, in the cut? You know what I'm just like? Mm-hmm. Is she okay? But yeah, I mean, she seemed very comfortable though, and like was very measured in how she was like giving them the download on how much they loved each other. So mm-hmm. I'm like, if she likes it, I love it.
So, yeah, the family is just like, you know, you seem like you have a good head on your shoulders. This just seems so fast. Like, I think the mom literally says, I hate this timeline. Like, I hate this show. Mm-hmm. I was like, I'm just imagining the freaking cameraman. Just walk close in on his mama's face, and his mama's like, I hate this. And they're like, yeah. Can you say that again? I couldn't catch it on the mic.
Oh my God.
So ridiculous. So yeah, but it looks like it's going to happen. Taylor also said her family was also very against being on, but she was like, no, mama, papa, I really am getting married, so you really do have to make this work. So we're gonna meet her parents maybe in the next drop.
Yeah, and her mom does not seem to be a fan, which is valid. I'm like, whenever parents and family are just like, this timeline is really wild, I'm like, it's valid. But as long as you're not mean, right? Because some of these parents, I'm like, you're taking a bit overboard, you know? Like, are you actually giving this person a fair shot? But yeah, her mom's energy in that preview.
We'll see. We've been bamboozled before because Alexandra and Tim's whole meeting of the family went well. Now, I will say I'm more worried about Garrett's family, and I'll stay more worried because this was weird. Like, we have this conversation. I think this conversation is supposed to be a red herring, obviously, because they're so obviously getting married. But, like, basically, Garrett tears up. He's like, yeah, I just really need your dad's approval. You're going to get it. Like, we've never not gotten it. And Taylor's like, I appreciate you telling me that you're kind of really going through it with your family, who are like, why are you going across the country for this woman? Mm-hmm. But it's like, she works in DC. They're gonna be back at least once a year. I did think of her basement apartment. I was like, this is such a just when I'm in town place.
It is.
Minimal clothes, the bed's set though. There's boxes in another room. It's like, to be that rich, to have just a place for when you're in town.
And she said it was her friend's place, right?
Oh, probably.
Yeah. 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 So I was like, it's definitely one of those rooms is used as storage by the owner of that home. So
for sure. Anything else we want to say about Taylor and Garrett? I loved how they came together to support Monica. That's pretty much it. We're still on the bit that Garrett's moving to San Diego. So, California boy, city boy.
When he was like, actually, it's a beach metropolis, I was like,
yo.
Okay,
I was
nerd.
Like, don't do this. Don't do this. Quantum is actually very small. And all of her friends are like, ooh, you got a nerd talking nerdy back to you. What you gonna do?
Right. She said, I'm taking him to San Diego with me. Duh.
Duh. We're gonna get some nice flowing locks next time you see him. Duh.
Like, okay, bundles.
Bundles. I mean, is there anything else you wanted to say about any of these couples?
No, I'm looking forward to the next drop. They gave us some juiciness with this one.
What is your chaotic bye moment of this episode? Or drop?
Let me see if this drop... I mean, it has to be the stocks conversation.
Yeah.
With Hannah and Nick, and she's like, you know, you got to invest in your stocks. And he's like, what about sports? Like, sir, are you five? Like, what are you?
Literally a child. Literally. But, like, sports is his whole life, to be fair. Like, his mom literally was like, sports was our priority growing up.
It was.
It was his dream. So that's just what it's giving. Do you have a beautiful black moment?
I mean, it was cute, I guess. I mean, I'm a little concerned with all of Tim's, like, London, England talk, but whatever. But it was cute when he was, like, naming these things, and her dad also, like, was like, oh, me too. That was cute, them bonding.
Mm-hmm. For sure. I also wrote down Alexandra's dad giving Tim his approval, like, the whole letter and everything, I think was really, really sweet. But also, I'm like, would love a sentimental moment like that between Tim and Alexandra.
That would be great.
They give I can see them getting married, but they give spouses who have friendship as the basis rather than romantic love, which honestly could outlast the other. But it's also like, you starting off like this, like we couldn't have like 2 days in Cabo like Ramses and Alexandra. she was having a time. It was none of that. I was like, oh, okay.
Right. Yeah. Well,
we tried.
Did we? Actually, was there even any try? How are y'all beefing in Cabo? Where is Cabo?
I know. All right. But then I'm still thinking about it. Like, he said, or she said, she was missing home. I really do wonder, it was also stressors of home, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we've literally seen that, I think, with, we just talked about, what's his name, Marshall. His partner, she freaked out on the trip because she was like, I have people to take care of and stressors and stuff. Like, these women are going through a lot, and we actually never get to hear about it until they boil over.
Literally. But also, it's making me think about, like, yeah, there are these women of color, Black women, who are experiencing this. It's like they're at a vacation and they can't even enjoy it because they're stressed about home. But then also, simultaneously, you have men like the two Stevens, Steven from this season and Steven from Love is Blind UK, who are living it up. Building whole fairy tales to their spouses or to their partners, and then they get back to their real life and they're like, oh, I'm not gonna buy you flowers, I'm not gonna even speak on the phone with you, even though I don't get to see you.
These men are actors.
Yeah, like, honestly, like, I feel like we definitely are getting our money's worth with this season, you know. Like, they're super, super, like, chaotic, beautiful Black moment. I would say Ashley, we just talked about her and her dad and their relationship and stuff like that. I definitely feel like that was a big thing for her in the pods that she kept reiterating. And Tyler with, oh, I can't wait to meet your dad, da 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 da. You know what I'm saying? So seeing it happen, it was kind of beautiful, even though he's a lying piece of, you know. it was beautiful because we stand, you know, daughter daddy relationships in the Black community. Mm-hmm. We stand for those. Sure. So yeah. Mm-hmm.
For sure. I will actually give my beautiful Black moment to Tim and Alexandra. We didn't get to talk much about them.
Yeah. They had a fight and everything. I'm glad that they recovered from it. It just seemed like Alexandra kinda got a little bit high into the riot and Tim was not having it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's always good to see them go through real issues and be able to bounce back in the way that they did. So that's good. I feel like that's like a check in the box for their relationship, kind of. Even though you don't want those things to happen, you can find out everything you need to know about a person in those situations. So yeah. I like their personalities too.
I will say them having that meeting right before the actual meeting, because her parents have MS and everything, that gave their team, and that gave me thinking they're actually going to get married.
I loved it. And I mean, this is also bringing like awareness to MS, which is a horrible, you know, disease. I've had, you know, my close friend's mom, she had it and has it. And it's really crazy. So I'm glad that it's bringing awareness to such a like specific thing. A lot of people don't even know what it is, but, yeah, seeing them kind of come together for her family and stuff like that was beautiful. So you're right. I can give you that. Maybe yours is a little bit better than mine. But yeah.
All right.
They look cute together.
They do.
Yeah,
like
that's
it.
Another thing. Like, it's rare kind of that I feel like the couples just naturally complement each other, like how much Alex and Tim do. Their personalities, their banter, the way that they joke. They just look cute in general. They look like they're already a couple, or like they met each other legitimately, not like in the show. Same thing with Tyler and Ashley, which is sad. They just look cute together, but you know, we're not gonna go back there. But yeah.
No.
All right,
Sabaya, where can people follow you if they want to hear more of your opinions or just want to see what you're up to?
Oh, you can follow me on Instagram at _thesolarpoppy, soul like your soul. And that's pretty much it. I mean, Sabaya Broderick, if you type it in on all social media platforms, it'll pop up.
All right. Thank you for joining us. Where can people follow you, Quita?
You can follow me on Instagram at @hello_Quita. And I'm starting a new podcast. So stay tuned for whenever I record. I'm working in my other job, my full-time day job. So
yeah,
but soon.
And thank you guys for watching and for listening to the Black Body Reality Podcast. Please like, comment, and subscribe. Thank you for all of the comments and watching last drop. I hope you guys enjoy this one. And next week, we are going to be joined with Katara Tops of Survivor. And we'll see if we're on our own or having a guest for the finale. We got a reunion coming, which I never doubted. Why do they always wait? I'm just like, I know you're going to have one. That's
exactly
a huge event. But yeah, and other than that, we are wrapping up Big Brother 26. I am going to come back with an interview with the winner, runner-up. And we're still continuing our Survivor recap. This week I talked to Katara about episode 4, and that was really fun. So that's about it, guys. Bye. What was your thought process? And this man refused. He couldn't even give her that.